You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dishes and Dimes, brought to you by Basketball News. My name is Sidra, even though it sells Kelsey on the screen, and I am here with Iman and Noor. How are you guys?
Iman, who's that?
I have no idea. I think she said her name was Kelsey, but it doesn't sound like it.
That's not Kelsey.
Leave me alone. You guys have no idea, okay? You have no idea what I went through. It was the worst experience of my life. I'm good. Sorry I've been MIA. Shout out to everybody at Dishes and Dimes for holding it down while I literally went missing for an entire semester. I just said bye. See you later. I mean, I'm glad to be back. It's good. Thank you guys for keeping the pod going while I just used your talent. Profited off of you guys.
Wow.
She just put our name on it and called it clout.
Like, literally though, I would have like four followers if it wasn't for you guys giving me followers.
You only would have four followers because of yourself.
You need to have an account for a year first, Sidra, to worry about your followers.
Yeah, I know. It's just,
leave me alone, guys.
Your four good. Followers are the fault of what's his name?
Lou what Williams? Is his name?
No.
What are we talking
Sean
about?
Sean Livingston. Your fault is the fault of Sean Livingston.
To be honest with you, it's not his fault because I threatened him with harming his body.
Yeah, but did you do that because of something he did?
Yeah, absolutely. He hurt Fred VanVleet. And if you're going to attack my kids, I'm going to attack you.
100%.
Yeah.
If it's my
fuck
team,
with my family, and I'll kill you.
You gotta go through
first. Oh my god, I should not be saying that.
Is it the perfect segue to just mention that we're talking about a final series, and today is the anniversary of that finals?
2-year anniversary of winning the championships for the Toronto Raptors. First ever championship in franchise history. How did you guys celebrate?
I like luckily lived downtown, so it was really fun to just win and go outside. Like, I lived on King Street, and the streets were packed.
I remember you were texting me throughout, and you were
I watched the confetti, like not confetti fall, what fell? It was in Golden State. I watched like the trophy come out. I watched the celebrations. I watched everyone get to speak, and like the crowd singing "Oh Canada." Which is so crazy to think about. Like, it's in the Oracle. It's the last game that'll ever happen in the Oracle. You know, this is happening in California, and you have it filled with Canadian fans singing the national anthem as the trophy's being brought down to the Toronto Raptors. It's such a surreal, crazy moment. And I watched all of that. I legit had tears streaming down my face. Like, it didn't hit until like that moment where I was like, oh, shit. Like, and I cried, and then I like went outside, and we like were in a car, and I was standing up top of the sunroof, just like yelling for the life of me. And we drove all the way down.
That's such a good memory.
It was so much fun. Like there were cops and there were everybody, but nobody cared. Like we were hanging outside of a car. Like I literally stood up the entire time, just out the sunroof. I was with my family then too. Like my uncle came down from Mississauga with my aunt.
What a good memory.
And it was so fun. And you know, it was this cool moment because like he's the reason that I'm a fan of basketball too, right? So it was like a really fun.
Did you start watching because of him? I don't think I know that story.
He took me to my first games. But like it was also just everyone in my neighborhood. We liked basketball. We were black kids in the hood. Like we weren't gonna watch hockey in Matt's and Dean. Sorry. So it was just such a surreal moment though. And there were just fans all over the city, just like high-fiving each other on the streets. Like you could not move. Like it was so crazy. And like you're just like talking to everybody. Then I stayed out with my friends until like 4 o'clock in the morning after I met up with them. And it was so much better than the parade. 10 times out of 10, this was the night. It was so great. How did you guys celebrate?
Well, I freaking missed it. I was in Michigan. And I was just, my friends were just like FaceTiming me from the streets. And like, you guys were sending me photos and I'm sitting in Michigan, like, the Raptors just won and I'm sitting in America. What the fuck? It was wild. But I came back, like I took time off and came back for the parade because I'm like, screw this, I'm going back. Yeah. But I mean, I was so happy. I was in my apartment by myself, crying tears of joy. And I was just happy. And just like seeing everybody on Twitter being so happy and like sharing their photos, just like, this is dope. Like, what an incredible thing to happen to the city. Well-deserved thing to happen to the city. Still makes me
She's Nora, what about you? Gentlemen. What did I do? It was so funny because I feel like I did full circle. I used to watch all the games by myself in my room. It would just be me like on my laptop streaming it. And I'm on Twitter, like following along to everyone else's live tweets. And that was the same way I watched the championship. Like it was just me in my room, game six. And it was so funny because like you knew you're about to win, but Kawhi's like, nah, I gotta take my free throws. So he made the climax like just that much more prolonged. And you're just waiting there to like celebrate for a little bit. You're like, okay, I know we're gonna win, we're gonna take it, but he wants to take his two shots. And it's Kawhi Leonard, so he has to go and take it, even though he knows we're gonna win. He wants to take those two shots.
That's so funny. It's so funny that he did that. It's so funny that he drew.
I was like, of course he wants to take those two. Like he knows we're winning, but he's like, fuck no, stop the clock right now.
Because that's going to go down in history, you know, how much he scored, what his stats were. Like, if you know you're going to win, why not do it?
He's like,
that moment's going down in history.
He needed to solidify his finals MVP over Fred VanVleet.
Yeah. Two more points. I got to get two more free throws. I got to make my stats look amazing. I have to go back to Cali next year, make sure I got the numbers to prove the negotiation tactics. But it was wild. And then I actually went to the parade. And unlike Iman, I should have done the opposite. I should have celebrated that night and not gone to the parade. But I went to the parade. I got there at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I got there super early too.
So I was like, right at the, I still wasn't at the very front because like there were people who had camped out the night before.
Yeah.
And my workplace knew when they found out that we had won, they're like, oh, so Noor's not coming in the parade day. I'm like, they already knew I'm not coming in. So I was given the day off, just like knowing I'm the big fan. And even besides the shooting, the dehydration, the bathroom.
Not that day. Ew.
No washrooms anywhere.
No, they
the trampoline. I felt like Simba for a second. I was like,
they did not plan.
Oh no.
At all. No. That was so poorly done. Tim Leiwicki came in 2013 and had a parade route planned out for the Raptors.
But tell it was my first parade.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely the rookies at it. You know what though? You know how Noor's like recounting her championship day? I really find it very interesting that she didn't mention that it was the first time we met.
Oh my god!
You stupid blank blank blank.
You forgot who you are entirely.
We literally met for the first time that day. We were just, how did we meet?
No,
we just crossed paths.
You're making yourself sound She's making herself sound good right now because that's the end of her sounding good. I was the one who saw her, pointed her out.
A lazy eye. I don't see anything ever.
You walked right past me. I have to
because
be like,
I have a lazy eye.
I was like, who is this girl shorter than I am walking around here?
You're shorter than Noor?
At 4 a.m.
You're shorter than Noor?
Yes.
Yeah. My foot, guilty. Whole foot almost kind of.
A whole
I'm
foot?
5'2". The slender.
Noor thinks she's 6'2".
Yeah. Relax. 5'3.4". Like,
did you
relax.
Get an inch when you said a foot?
No, round it up. It's 5'4". Did you hear that, guys? I round it up.
Were yeah, I rounded it up to 5'5" because my doctor
you bad at math?
Tells me my doctor tells me I'm 5'4.5", and I'm like, why don't you round up to 5'5"? Like, you round up my weight, round up my height too. What are you doing?
For real, you round up my weight. Why don't you round down my weight?
Or give me the decimal point, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
No, but I just see this girl walking around. I'm like, who is this girl here shorter than I am? I got to find out. And I see her and I see the hair and I'm like, oh, I think I might know her. She looks like she might be Chaos. And then I stop her and I'm like, this is Sidra. And it was so funny. I'm like,
you guys were in the worst place.
Who in
yeah,
the
no, at the end though, like I was her. Actually with Mohammed at the end.
Yeah.
And we just stayed like near the Tim Hortons, like way back. Like right where the shooting happened. So not to make light of a situation. We almost got trampled though. That really was like Lion King.
Like, honestly, the city needs to do better for the next one, guys. Soon come.
Next year.
Soon what?
Soon come.
Soon come who? What?
Next championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sister, what do you mean? Have you even been watching basketball? What would you know?
This is a great segue, huh?
We could just
what
tell
do you even know about basketball?
Michael Jordan has come out of retirement and has joined the Toronto Raptors.
With a tweet this time that just says, I'm back. No, like, no press release. It's 2021. We too.
Sidra went 5 months without basketball and now she's like, I love basketball. Matt Sundin is my favorite.
Yeah.
Player.
I love the
Marner. Such shoots such great three-pointers. Can't believe I know.
Who was the hockey player who, do you guys remember this? This was during, you know how like the Raptors hold the, like those Mandela events, the Nelson Mandela events, like for Giants of Africa and stuff like that, that like Masai Ujiri does. There was one event honoring Nelson Mandela. They had a hockey player come in. And he was like, yeah, no, I have such respect for Nelson Mandela. He was such a great hockey player. The route that he paid for other hockey players. I'm gonna find out who it was. It was so funny. Like that's
Jonathan Bernier.
Thing.
No.
Just what's his name?
It looks about right. Jonathan Bernier. Bernier.
Jonathan Bernier.
Sounds like it. The name definitely sounds like he would mess that up.
It's Bernie with an R.
Yeah, Bernier. He's probably French.
Francais.
Oh, Francie. Yeah. And anyways, it was the funniest thing ever.
That's so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
How do you not know who Nelson Mandela is? How many pucks have you taken to the head, like, without a helmet? Just straight concussions.
But, like, here's my thing. Why don't you ask someone before going? Like, it's like, even if you don't know who Nelson Mandela is, if I go to somewhere and I have no idea who we're honoring and what the event is, I'm going to Google it. And if I can't Google it for whatever reason, I'm going to ask somebody. I'll ask my Uber driver.
Absolutely.
I'll ask my publicist, the team publicist.
Think about this. He had up until being invited, thinking about if he's going to go or not. After deciding he's going to go, the lead up to the day, being at the event, up until being asked what he thinks about Nelson Mandela, he could have figured out who that person is in that time period. And he did it.
Instead, everything. That's so crazy. I will watch a commercial like I don't understand that reference. I will Google it.
You guys, literally, but instead he confidently with his entire chest, like took questions. Like he went and took questions. Excuse me, back the hell up. What are you doing? At least fake it. Just like be quiet.
Or like, don't mention anything. You know what I mean? Like, ask me, like, what do you think about Nelson Mandela? He was a great man. Nelson, I'm assuming, is a man's name. I'm going to roll with it. I'm just going to say, a great man. Leave it at that.
Literally.
Like, I'm not going to tell you about his hockey career that he did not
media
have.
Training, man. Media training.
I should get into PR.
You would be great.
Yeah, I think I would be. If you're a white celebrity that is like pissed off Black Twitter, like if you're Yes Jules, I think I would do fantastic in rehabilitating your profile.
I don't even know who Yes Jules is. Is that embarrassing?
No, honestly, it's embarrassing that I know who she is.
Oh,
isn't
that okay.
Girl that, maybe.
alleged.
Nora's trying to get us banned from everything in the future.
Show up at my door.
You can't talk
like,
about
sign
him.
The NDA.
Yes, Jules is a white woman who tends to upset Black Twitter quite often.
So she's one of the Kardashians.
No. But you know, she's built similarly
from the same factory.
Catch my drift.
From the same
and does the same like cultural appropriation.
Oh, loves it. Mm. Loves it.
It's right, just it's just my choices. Yeah. I just like doing this.
All right, Sidra, what's the last game you watched?
Ooh.
Let me work.
Ooh. Honestly, guys, since this is a safe space, I'm just gonna say that I probably haven't watched a full game in all of 2021.
And would you like to explain yourself?
Wait, no, I have a question.
I feel like I'm on the stand right now.
When you say all of 2021, because the season started in like December of 2020, are we including just this entire season?
I don't know if I've watched a full game. And if I have, I've been on like my phone for most of it. Like I haven't paid attention. And I don't know what it is, but I think like I've talked to a few people, like I've made like tweets here and there about like just like not feeling this season or even last season, to be honest with you. And I feel like a few people hopefully agree with me, not agree because there's something you agree on, but like feel the same way. It's just been kind of exhausting to watch basketball. Like basketball for me, since from before I can remember, I think I started watching basketball and like grade two or something, grade three. And it was always like a release, a time where I just like, you don't have to think about anything and you just relax. And I don't know if basketball is like that for me right now. I don't know if it's a relaxing place anymore. Or at the moment, I think just, there's a lot of like factors, I think. But I think, I don't know. I feel like some people are feeling similarly. If you are listening to this, tweet me, let's talk. I don't know. Do you guys feel the same way? Like, have you felt different in the last 2 years since COVID and since not the starting of the BLM movement, because that wasn't it. But after the murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Jacob Blake, have you felt differently when it comes to basketball? Or what's your relationship to basketball like right now?
I think initially when all of that happened, mixed with COVID, mixed with the movement, it kind of disengaged all of us to a certain degree. And since then, it's really been hard to connect the way that I had been connected prior to everything. And it's just, I mean, I'm still watching it. I'm still enjoying it. But now there's so many different factors that you see that can contribute to a season when things are happening around it and you're not being mindful of that. And when you factor in all those things that are affecting the game, it just doesn't make any sense to even be playing. And when you factor in all of that, it's just like, how are you awarding anyone for anything? And how does that even make sense for that, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're having all these injuries, if you're having all these guys out, if these teams aren't able to produce the way that they were able to prior to COVID, you can't really examine how good each player is and the team is because you're playing under such different circumstances now. It's not the same. So what's the point of even having a season if you know that it's not going to be the 100% of what you want to get out of it on any normal season. So it's been hard. I think in Canada, there's just nothing to do. So I've just been watching it anyway. But the investment level has absolutely been way down. Maybe given my team's not playing, that's definitely a huge factor too. But I think like, even besides that, it just hasn't been the kind of basketball that you kind of want to watch because everything just kind of feels, it hasn't been the same.
Forced?
Pandemic. Yeah, exactly.
It feels forced. Like it the season forced. Feels forced.
It's all forced. And I think both of you guys.
Of capitalism.
Oh my gosh. I mean, like if we needed any reminders of what this league is about, I think these last 2 years have showed us. But I think you guys both raised really excellent points. I think all of us on this pod, especially like before the bubble started, we were like, what are we doing? Why are we restarting the NBA? What is the point in it? There's so many bigger things that are happening right now. And like, if we want to talk about the protests that were sparked because of George Floyd's murder, you know, justice still hasn't been served for Breonna Taylor. Like, we can go through this stuff. And like, a lot of the reason why we saw any amount of justice for George Floyd is because of the protests that happened. It was because of the backlash and the fact that that was worldwide. And that happened because we didn't have distractions. Mm-hmm. That happened because for a moment we were allowed to pause. Like if you were lucky, you didn't have to go into work every single day.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to say if you were lucky, because of course there were lots of people who were unlucky and because they couldn't go into work every day. Mm-hmm. Want to acknowledge that as well. But we all got a little bit of a break from the rest of the world. There wasn't all of this stuff happening. And like part of the world that we live in, the way that capitalism is able to work in the way that it does, it keeps us so busy that we don't have a second to realize how exploited we're being or how effed up all of this is, right? And so having us have that moment where there weren't any distractions really led to some meaningful change. It led to something. Yeah. It led to the world listening to us, and it led to like people really protesting in the streets all over the world. And the NBA comes back, and it's not just the NBA, it's all sports leagues, it's everything comes back, and that was a distraction that we all said that it would, like people said it wouldn't be, and we all on this podcast knew that it would. But people said that it wouldn't be a distraction, and it was. Like,
yeah.
As soon as the NBA started, I didn't hear any sort of talk about anything else. It was, yes, they knelt, sure, okay, they wore t-shirts and everything, but like, come on. Like, what are we really talking about, right? And
but like, even the t-shirts, the t-shirts.
Or the jerseys.
You couldn't say defund the police. You had to have a cookie cutter statement.
Yeah.
That was approved by a panel.
The league.
It was on a list.
It wasn't even approved by the league. I think the league had presented you.
It was a list.
Their pre-approved statements, and you had to select education reform from there. What does that even
mean? Who are you to tell a group of Black men what they can put on their shirts when they're being persecuted for their skin color?
And honestly, it's all
pageantry.
That ties in with Adam Silver still not apologizing to Messiah about what he's gone through. It just shows it's all so rooted in racism. It's all still so rooted in like taking over the minorities and the marginalized. And that, I feel like that just hasn't been resolved the way that they had hoped that it would
won't.
Be.
And it won't.
And it won't. Absolutely.
It won't. It, like, and we have so many of these stories even creep up in, like, you know, Jackie McMullen telling Kyrie Irving that he is basically owned by the team, right? When like, no, and Kyrie's
no, without Kyrie, the team doesn't exist. So
right, like, and I like all of this stuff is real, and I think everything that you're feeling is real, tied into the fact that this team started the year with Terrence Davis on the roster, and we all had very strong feelings about something like that.
I honestly forgot that how much that affected me.
Yeah.
That too. I was so angry.
Yeah.
That I just kept seeing Terrence Davis on my timeline on Twitter, on my like TV. Like, I don't want to see your face around.
Yeah.
It was just that. And then honestly, with the Raptors organization, I love them so much. And I was just like, I was so proud to be supporting an organization that was like that. And then seeing like their big trucks that said Black Lives Matter pulling in to Orlando. And I was just like, this is incredible. Like, what a statement to make. This is beautiful. And then you have Terrence Davis on the team and like players are exhausted and their mental health isn't being taken into consideration. Like, Black lives are supposed to matter when it comes to their mental health, when it comes to everything in their lives, not just like a cookie cutter statement you can say so you can go ahead and continue playing. So I think for me, that I just also, the word that kept coming into my mind when I knew we were talking about this is the word guilt. And I think with COVID and with the Black Lives Matter protests, I like knowing that COVID disproportionately affects the brown community, but very much so the Black community. And then I'm watching Black athletes for entertainment while I sit comfortably at home, safe from a global pandemic, is just such bullshit that I was just like, I felt weird. And that's not, I'm not like trying to be on like this pedestal, like I'm all like high and mighty and shit. I just felt so uncomfortable.
Like everyone should feel weird. The fact that a season right now is happening, the fact that the NBA rushed it in the way that they did in order for them to get the 66 games that they got this season is all BS, right? Or probably 66 games that they got this season.
Don't ask me, girl. You know I don't know.
72?
I should know, but I don't know. Sorry.
72, 66, one of those two. But like rushing it in the way that they did, like Nor said, the product that we're getting right now feels like this season felt fake. Last season felt fake. I hate to say it, but the last real champs were the Toronto Raptors.
They were.
I don't hate to say it. I love to say
you
it.
You want
to
talk about asterisks, the last two.
These last asterisks. Two have asterisks all over it. Like, you know, plug a piece that I'm putting out this week. Hopefully, fingers crossed, if I finish it.
You will.
Is just about how this season is... what's the word that I want to use? Benefiting teams that performed poorly last year. No, don't want to say it that way. This season is hurting teams that performed well last season. Because if you think about it, like look at the Denver Nuggets. They made the conference finals. Half of their roster is injured right now. And I think they got swept tonight. we're recording during the game. But they like that's it. Right. And they made the conference finals. You look at the Lakers out in the first round. They're the ones who won a championship. Miami Heat out in the first round. They were the ones that made the finals. And all of this is because they've had the shortest, like literally half the amount of time that a normal offseason would be. They had the shortest one. And so they're all dealing with injuries. They're all dealing with fatigue. They're
plug
all
Katie's all article these- right here.
Sorry?
Plug Katie's article like right here at this moment.
Yes. Yes, of course. Yeah. Yes. Read everything Katie puts out. Katie's such a great writer. Like sometimes you just reading it. And just like
she made a really great article about how the league and how their mishandling of the COVID situation has impacted players and how that has accelerated their injuries and their muscles have been exhausted. They've been tearing things that they never thought they'd be tearing. Like it's been a whirlwind of a season. And I will just say, in my opinion, the guys who are at home right now on their teams are probably not that pissed off at their home right now. You know, like at a normal season, it might have stung, but I think this season is kind of just like, you know what, let's wrap this up. We're this close to normality. Let's just wait for that and then see where things go. Because and
this offseason is going to be short as well, because aren't they going to try to fit in a full 82 games next year? Like all of this stuff.
That's so evil.
It feels so rushed.
It's so rushed, but like when you're putting out, I know I keep going back to this, but when you're putting out statements like Black Lives Matter and you don't care about their physical well-being, what are you saying? Your statement is bullshit. If you don't care about the injuries they're getting, ruining their careers for your profit, you're a piece
I think of it. Just to like present, not to, or because I'm 100% in agreement with you, is the players would vote for this as well.
But this short of a season?
Because they make the money. Right. If the season doesn't happen, they lose the money. And like, yes, you have the LeBron James, you have the Chris Pauls who are on all these State Farm commercials and LeBron is a billionaire. Yeah. Chris Paul's on all these commercials. They're fine. But if you look at the 13th man, the 15th man, the 14th man on a roster, if they're not getting paid and if the season doesn't happen, if you're cutting, condensing, you know, cutting
roster. Well, that guy's not going to get injured anyways because he's not getting that much playing time. So,
but you know, it happens. Pat McCaw has been injured for like 2 years. Pat McCaw's a center. But it happens, and those guys don't get paid if these seasons don't happen.
I get it. I think you were making an excellent point. Like, that's something I didn't think of. Like, especially guys that don't get playing time, like their careers and their livelihood matters.
Not even like just most guys, like outside of the superstars in the league, outside of like the top 30 players in the league, the rest of the guys, the 470 other players need games.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that these guys live paycheck to paycheck, but a lot of them do.
Yeah.
That is such a wild concept to me. I just, when I think basketball player, I just think of like Lamb.
Yeah. But a lot of them live paycheck to paycheck, and they're supporting their entire families.
Yeah. Sometimes even generations too. So
yeah. And you know, the only way that they're like, the season needs to happen in order for them to put food on their family's tables. And so the players' union is always going to vote for a season to happen. It's unfortunate. And we understand, like, completely, I think your points are very valid. This is exploitation. This is, you know, like the idea that Black Lives Matter is all pageantry to all of these corporations. It's the cute thing to say because it's what's in right now. Mm-hmm. But nobody actually means it if it means risking their pockets or their money or anything.
It's the same thing with like Pride right now. It's Pride Month right now and Indigenous Peoples Month. And like, what are people actually doing for both those communities besides putting a rainbow flag out? Nothing.
Like the way that my heart sinks every time I read another story about, and I recognize it's a basketball podcast and we probably need to switch over talking about it, but just as soon as you said Indigenous,
but we're also just like people, you know, we don't always have to. Basketball isn't life. It really isn't. There's shit that
ball
really
is not life.
No, there's shit that matters in this world. I promise you. I'm on this like thing of self-discovery on this journey where I'm like, wait, basketball doesn't matter. There's things you need to focus on. And one of them is our, like, Canada's history of genocide that I didn't learn in the public school system at all. In PL, no talk about it.
They did in my high school. And I'm sure this is in most people's high school. Anyone who went to the TESB, let me know if they did this for you as well. Or you guys went to PL? Region, I'm sure there's yours as well. In high school, we started history class from chapter 5 or chapter 6. And that meant we were starting excluding everything that happened chapter 1 through chapter 4. So nothing to do with how settlers got here, what was
colonization, what they did,
what did they do,
what kind of blankets they were giving people,
residential schools, none of that. All of that was cut out. And we learn it a little bit when you're like in grade 5 and 6 and like you learn about Samuel de Champlain or whatever the hell, but like you don't actually understand what's happening because you're a child. And they talk about residential schools. I remember learning about that in grade 6, but like you're a kid and you're like, I don't really know what's happening.
I remember learning about residential schools, but I did not. I just learned that they were taken away from their homes to learn English.
Yeah, that's kind of how, and like learn Christian, like it was like put in.
And it wasn't like they were raped, they were beaten, they were sterilized. It wasn't all that shit. It was just literally. It was by the way.
And even like being kidnapped and taken to learn English. Go F you and your language.
Yeah, it was like, oh yeah, well, we're in Canada, so they have to learn English. So we're doing something great for them. Oh, really? Is that what happened?
This is so frustrating.
Yeah.
If you could like do, I've always said, like if I could do like a, I have a show because you're saying you're on the self-discovery tour. If you could do a show with one NBA player, mine would be Joakim Noah. Who would yours be?
I want to do like a Kyrie or Jalen.
Ooh, that would actually, those are very good answers.
Very good answers, I know. Because they're just such good people. They're good-hearted, good humans.
They are. And they're like, yeah, that would be really interesting. Nora, do you got an answer? If you could.
Chris Paul. He's like gonna lead me to victory.
Really?
Hell yeah.
I feel like Chris Paul would be like, no, we gotta be up by 4 o'clock in the morning. And like Chris Paul would just like be on your ass. Like, do you remember how much like Blake Griffin hated him? Like, I just feel like he's like, I wanna win with you, but like, do I wanna spend 2 months traveling through Canada with a pain in my ass?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I don't think I would travel.
Absolutely.
I feel like it would take a really long time in the washroom. And I'd be like, bro, I just had coffee. I need to.
You don't have hair, Chris. What are you doing? Yeah. What's taking so long?
Just hanging. Picking a playlist before he hops in the shower.
He's reading
he seems
over
like his, the type.
Sandra, can we just like for the rest of this give you a rundown of what's going on? Do you have questions for us?
I need you guys to tell me.
The dime bag is not going to be like listener questions. It's just going to be my questions.
What the hell is happening? I don't even know what teams are. I know that
I'm going to be honest, these last two seasons feel really fake.
I know the Suns are playing.
Not last season, season and a half. But yeah.
Are the Nuggets playing?
The Nuggets are about to be, if they haven't already,
because they're
sweat.
Somebody got ejected today fighting.
Nikola Jokic got ejected today.
Yeah, he did.
And I honestly didn't feel dirty, but sure. But yeah, the Nuggets are done, basically, by the Suns.
Okay.
But Jamal Murray is injured. Did you know that?
How did he get injured? You guys, when I tell you, I literally jumped off of the face of the earth for a little bit.
You did.
If I didn't, though, I would have gotten suspended again. Why did he get injured?
He tore his Achilles. He tore his ACL. So he's out.
Ouch.
He's gone.
When did he get injured? Having
a couple of months ago, hon.
Okay. Cause I'm like, ACL is like a 6 months type of thing.
Yeah. He'll be back for next season. He won't be for team. Like he won't be there for Team Canada. But he'll probably
Even happening this summer?
So
are the Summer Olympics happening? Because I heard like the Summer Olympics are happening,
but Canada needs to qualify in order to be in the Summer Olympics. And Canada has yet to qualify, but they do have a qualifying game that will happen on our country soil in Vancouver. And you know what? I think that Canada could put together a really good team.
I think so.
They're going to have, there's some injuries there, but you know what? They're going to have, a solid roster. We could discuss that in the summertime. What's some NBA questions you got for us?
What round is happening right now? I think it's the second round of the playoffs, right?
It is the second round of the playoffs. Do you know which teams? Do you know
which teams? Girl did zero research for this podcast. She's like,
well,
I'm just
if I did research, then I would be like, not my authentic self on self.
I love it.
You know?
I love it. Which round is it in the playoffs?
No idea what's playing tonight. Sidra, amazing.
This is like my mom asking me, like, why is he shooting for?
I am those people that I like got annoyed with when they used to ask me about basketball.
I love it. I love it. It's the second round. Who do you think is going to win it all, Sidra?
Well, I've been hearing some shit about the Clippers.
Where have you been hearing shit from?
I don't know. Noor's always talking shit about Kawhi all the time. So she's really like, Noor is like one of those exes who will always want to see you do bad. She'll never forgive you.
Noor's like, I'm fine as hell. Why would you leave me?
Yeah, like what? I give you everything I had.
I went to a beach this weekend just to take pictures and look to Steve Ballmer and be like, it's hot here. He can
the
come
Larry
back.
OB. Do you guys remember that video? Here.
Yes.
All I keep remembering is Larry OB. I have that video saved on my draft.
I used to call it the Larry O'Brien, and now I call it the Larry OB.
This season is all about the Larry OB. I hate that man. I want
so sorry.
Bad things
Larry
for that
OB
man.
Is will always be Toronto's thing. Can we like the Clippers take like the Raptors do something? The Clippers are like, yep, taking that, doing that.
Oh, it's such bullshit. Like all of Kawhi's marketing.
He hasn't had a personality since being with the Clippers, so they're just like, "What to do, baby?"
Did you guys see last time? For Serge? Serge has been. Oh my god, this is so funny. Actually, isn't this? Can you know how when Serge was here, like we gave him a production team, we gave him a studio, a crew, like everything was set to go for him, and then he goes on Twitter. I guess he's just sitting at home right now, like being a fan, the only fan for the Clippers on Twitter currently. So he's on Twitter.
Send us the clips. Twitter.
Whatever. And then he puts up this posts this video. And you know how, like, when you're uploading something somewhere, you go and you, like, you crop it out so you have a white or a black border around it. So he uploads a video, and this is supposed to be like a Clippers video, like a Clipper Nation, LA Clippers this video. And this is, he uploaded it through like some cropme.com picture, and he puts it on Twitter. And I quote tweeted it, and I was like, when Serge was here, at least like we gave him a production crew, and he has to go find apps that are free downloadable so he can, you know,
to Google.
He can Google it and put it on the proper format for Twitter. I went back 30 seconds later, the tweet was gone. He deleted it.
Oh no.
I hope it wasn't me. I'm so sorry, Serge.
Serge is being bullied off here.
Don't apologize. I hope like the Clippers.
But no, you're right. I am the petty ex-girlfriend. You left us and you must suffer for that. I mean, no, you know what? Like, you know that meme face where it's like less smiling on the outside but crying on the inside? That's how I feel. I'm like laughing but like crying on the inside as I say these things.
I mean, at least I feel like I'm going to start watching soon because I'm in summer and don't have much to do.
Honest, it's really boring this playoffs. I don't.
Yeah, I see. Like usually I would see like an interesting, say, like I knew that Nikola got into a fight today because finally an interesting clip of the NBA came up on my timeline. Like there's nothing interesting happening in terms of sports besides like Simone Biles being like
amazing,
superhuman. So
greatest Olympian ever.
Greatest athlete. Serena. Right beside her.
It's Serena, Simone, and LeBron, and no one's gonna convince me otherwise.
No. I think I absolutely agree with that. Simone is like super sorry, this is a bad basketball podcast, but I'm obsessed with her. I don't really care for USA gymnastics, but I will watch her.
You see the goat forever. That she put on her? No. She like had a sequence goat on her little, what are they called?
Oh, I didn't see her. It was a goat. Oh my God. My lazy eye never lets me see properly. She is the goat.
Are you blaming your lazy eye?
Yeah, because I was like,
she said my lazy eye doesn't let me see properly.
I don't think you have a lazy eye.
I do. It's just not lazy right now. I took a nap during the day.
it's an active eye right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in terms of basketball, I know. Uh-huh. Okay. Now I know the second round's going.
Yes.
I think the Brooklyn Nets are playing the Celtics.
In the Is first that right? Round. They did that.
They
in the
were.
First
oh, because round one. I don't even know time anymore. Well, lie, you guys. I have no idea what's going on.
Okay, so right now the Celtics are out, and it's the Brooklyn Nets versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Which?
What? They're green. That was close enough.
It's green. It's true. It was a series that, like, it's tied 2-2 now.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is. That's worth watching. What happened?
No. For everybody who's not
interesting, it's not as interesting as it sounds, to be honest. So, game one. James Harden gets hurt within the first 3 minutes of the game. First, that like
sucks.
Right away. He gets hurt. So he's been out for the entire series because of that. Then today, so then even without James Harden, the Nets blow the doors off of the Bucks, destroy them in game one. Come back. Amazing. Game two is even worse somehow. They destroyed them even more. Do you remember like 2016 when the Raptors were playing the Cavs and you were like, it's bloody murder. Stop it. It's stop bloody it right murder. Now. Stop it. That's exactly what was happening.
It was the Bambi's mom scene. Like, get up.
100%. And oh my God. They're a deer, because they're a deer, it works perfectly. Dead deer. So that's exactly what it was. And then game two was even worse. And then game three comes around and like, neither one of the teams are good. Like you're just like, so it was such a funny thing because like the Bucks came out super hot in the first quarter and then lost it all in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. And then the Nets were super hot in the second quarter. They just kind of trade places. And then in the second half, neither one of them decided they wanted to score. But Bruce Brown, and honestly, Noor, your tweet, A1.
About what?
She said, you have KD and Kyrie on your team. And Bruce Brown goes, this for me with the bike. So funny. So funny. That's exactly
what happened. Nora has been excellent this last year. Nora's
tweets are perfect. That was a flawless tweet, which is exactly what happened in that game. Bruce Brown was like, oh yeah, Kyrie and KD are here, but I'm going to be the big man and take the final shots in the game.
Didn't he said Bruce Brown time.
It didn't work.
Did not work out for him.
Poor guy. Shut up.
And then today they played, and Kyrie gets hurt. And Kyrie was out for the game. So it's just KD trying to be Superman, but like the
something happened, like his ankle, right?
You're forgetting someone.
Oh, Blake Griffin was really, really, really good in the first two games.
Look at the way Noor's smiling.
The two games? What do you mean the two games?
He wasn't good today. He's
consistent enough to get some kind of, you know, compliments out of you, Iman, I think.
He was really good. He was legitimately, it was like, it felt
he
like
was a Blake Griffin Iman.
Resurgence. Yeah, no, he was legitimately
Giannis a
very
Greek.
Good player.
He was so, not- we can conclude that Blake Griffin just didn't give a fuck in Detroit.
No, he did. He did. He was like injured.
He did.
Injured.
He just got
someone
hurt,
who
right?
lived in Michigan for 3 years. I promise you, nobody cares about Michigan.
He did though. Like in 2019, Blake was phenomenal.
He was putting
but
up
since
huge
2019.
Numbers.
He's been bad.
Really?
Yeah, he was phenomenal in 2019, but since 2019, he's been bad. But so he was really good. Today it was brutal. They were bad. But here's the thing: like Kyrie and Harden are both hurt, and so it kind of feels like the Bucks are just going to win by default. Mm-hmm. But I picked the Bucks
asterisk
coming
win.
Into the series. Yeah, I picked the Bucks coming into the series just because I was like, no one's going to be able to stop Giannis. And I just like trusted Chris Middleton and everybody to be able to score. But Chris Middleton decides.
You? Only- wait. You?
Gee,
trusted Chris Middleton?
Here's why.
You?
Here's why.
She's singing the praises of Giannis and Chris Middleton, and I was like, "This is Iman."
No, but
okay, you know that tweet. I'm like,
Chris Middleton didn't have to be the second option anymore. Chris Middleton was allowed to be the third option because my stupid ass decided to trust Drew Holiday.
Okay, but you know that scenario of like, you'll know I've been kidnapped if I tweet this. That's you and Chris Middleton.
Honestly, Chris,
I would have called 911. You're so lucky I wasn't watching basketball.
Chris Middleton is not. Here's my thing about Chris Middleton. One is he is a really good. He is probably the best role player in the league. He's just a role player, and I'm sorry, role players do really well at home. It's a trend that we've seen. He did really well for two games at home. That's it.
What was in that?
He's not a star. He's not a star. He's not a star. That's my whole thing. It's like, he's not a star. You're not going to ask him to do this on the road because he disappears. He cannot be your number two because he disappears. But against an injured Nets team, he can go put up numbers. Like, girl, we've seen Danny Green do that. I don't know.
Do you know when Chris Middleton made sense to me? When I saw him wearing glasses to the locker room and he came out of the locker room without his glasses, I was like, that is basketball makes so much sense now because he's not wearing glasses on the
court. But Sidra keeps talking about her lazy eye, and I'm like, I don't think he can see the court very well.
He might have a lazy eye. I can look at it if you want to.
He doesn't might have a lazy eye. He's
he. Guys, we still have to be invited to arenas. We can't say shit right now.
Okay, can I, speaking of eyesight, I have a question for you guys. Have you guys ever noticed that referees are old as shit and none of them are wearing glasses?
Mm-hmm.
How can they see anything? Like, I feel
I
like
know.
Tony Brothers isn't missing calls because he's bad at his job. I just think he
that is a name I haven't heard in the last few months. And I
left the game today, and that man said, let this be about me.
For
let
those
me remind
of you
Kevin Durant
see.
And Giannis that I am the star tonight. And may his presence know. Yeah. Oh, God.
For those of you who can't see, the second Iman mentioned Tony Brothers, Sidra literally, like, I saw vomit, like, dripping out of her mouth. Like, yeah. She's pissed.
It might have been Laziz I had earlier, but it was definitely because.
Can I just say, like, Raptor fans get really upset at, like, certain names for refs. They're like, Scott Foster, grr. And I'm like, first of all, Scott Foster won us a championship. Thank you so much, Scott Foster. Like, I appreciate you. Tony Brothers, yeah, you have some weird ass calls, and every once in a while I'm like, did you, like, did any, what did you see? Are you making it up? But he also won us a championship. Like, the person that we hate are not those two. Hate Ed Molloy, hate Zach Zarba. Even Mark Davis has, like, changed his ways for the Raptors. He was awful. And then he, like, saw the light and also probably was about to be jumped outside of the Air Canada Center one day and decided to be good. But, like, Raptor fans, for whatever reason, like, get on Scott Foster's ass. And I'm like, you're not the Houston Rockets. You're not the Los Angeles Clippers. You're not Chris Paul.
Like, I feel a name like that, though, and a name like Tony Brothers. I feel like if you're a popular ref,
you failed at your job.
You probably feel it. Like, if, like, a regular NBA fan knows, or, like, not a super fan, but, like, a regular fan like me knows your name, is probably because you were a piece of shit once in your life. Not a piece of shit. Always. Like, you were bad at your job at one point. Like, so bad that it pissed people off.
They're the ops.
Refs should not, you, like, you're, as a referee, your name should not be known.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Your name should not be known.
Because the game's not about you.
The best referees are the ones that we can, like, finish the game and not even, like, no one brings them up. Nobody even knows that they're there. They just, like, are there.
Because they should be a non-factor.
But, like, Tony Brothers has, like, main
character syndrome. I feel like the Raptors fans hated Tony Brothers.
They do.
A few years ago.
No, they do. And, like, I think, like, here's the thing. Here's my thing about Tony Brothers is there's certain refs, though, because there's certain ones that you can, like, feel have a vendetta against you. Like, I feel like Houston Rockets. I don't, like, Chris Paul, I think, has lost 13 games straight or something with Scott Foster being the ref. Like, there are certain players and teams that can say, this man I hate. But then there are certain refs that, like Tony Brothers, for example, every fan base hates him equally. He's not out there to get a specific fan base. He's just bad. Mm-hmm. Like, he has main character syndrome, and he, like, also,
it's those eyebrows, man. Those eyebrows give him way too much eyebrows
shade. I think it's, like, similar to, like, this that's going on there, you know, where it's like, I
can't. And they give him too much confidence.
He has the confidence of a mediocre white man, and I love it for a black man. I love it for you, Tony.
Yeah, do your thing, man.
Do your thing.
Does it matter if it's, like, a predominantly black league and players that he's pissing off?
Oh, yeah, because he's just a
cop. Does it make it sticky then?
Nah. I think he had one call where it looked like Pat Connaughton drew a charge, but he called it a blocking foul. So, you know what? He was doing great work for a black man. I think it was Bruce Brown that got to shoot free throws.
I'm for it. Do it, man.
It's so funny. You can tell we have Scissor on the pod because we've barely talked about actual basketball.
I don't fucking know what's happening.
I mean, like, okay, so here's the thing. So we
but, like, about- I also haven't paid attention. Like, I've been watching that, but it's all in the background. I know, like, it sucks to say, but, like, you just understand that the longevity of these players now is just not going to be the way that it has been. And you can it sucks to say, and I don't want to say it, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but, like, you can expect injuries, you know, it's just, you're going to expect them, and it sucks that way. Like, imagine the next series with Clippers and whoever, like, if Clippers make it out with Utah, how is that going to go even beyond for Western Conference Finals? How are they, and if they make it out of that, how is Kawhi going
to? They can't. Kawhi cannot sustain
it. He can't.
No.
It's not a human level that they're requiring.
And you
from
can't
him.
Rely like, on that's Paul another George.
Series where I trusted the Clippers. I could pick Clippers and Bucks, which is like for the finals, which is like two teams that I should have never placed any faith in. Clippers and the Bucks.
Yeah, I don't know what you were doing.
Here's the thing, like, on paper it made sense. Like, on paper, looking at the Bucks and the Nets and going based off of their, like, regular season performances against each other, it just felt like they were not going to have anyone that was going to be able to guard Giannis. And I thought it starts and it ends with that. It starts with the Nets defense just not being able to contain what the Bucks can do. And if the Bucks just, if you don't have Bledsoe and you're replacing him with someone better, aka Drew Holiday, and Drew can be your number two option, and Middleton can be pushed to number three. It just felt like they had enough. It very much felt like just like a minor change that, like, maybe the Raptors needed to get over certain humps in the past. But it just felt like that, right? So I trusted them in that sense. And then with the Clippers, I looked at the Clippers and the Jazz, and I was just like, the Clippers should win this. Like, who's going to stop Kawhi?
But who's going to stop Gobert?
The NBA is going to.
Like, I also think that, like, I think that you can, like, play Gobert out of a series. Like, obviously, like, Serge Ibaka getting back surgery kind of throws everything out the window there. But, like, I thought you could play Gobert out by just going small.
But I think it's harder to do because then you have Donovan Mitchell on the perimeter, right? Like, it's so hard because he can just take
but those Donovan shots. But Donovan Mitchell's not a great defender. You know, like, he's not like an elite defensive option. Sure, yeah, that's fine. Donovan Mitchell should, and here's another thing, like, maybe this is just me not giving Donovan Mitchell the roses that he clearly deserves this postseason, but, like, he is the third best player on the court, and, like, sometimes I probably considered him, like, the second or third best player to start the year for the Jazz based off of the way that Conley and Rudy Gobert started out. But it's clear that he's their star. It's clear that he, like, takes his game to another level in the postseason, and, like, that's something that can't be denied. I think this is, like, I know that last season in the bubble was kind of his, like, home showing, but now that the Jazz have made it past the first round and he's doing this against the Clippers, like, it feels very much like his moment. He's been phenomenal. He's been amazing. I did not expect him to have the best game. I didn't expect him to be the best player on the court with both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And you can say whatever you want about Paul George. 1,000%. I thought Paul George was better than Donovan Mitchell. Like, say whatever you want about Paul George. Donovan Mitchell's, like, it's not like, like, I legitimately, if you had asked me at the start of the year, I'm like, yeah, Conley and Gobert have been fantastic for the Jazz.
As, like, someone honestly, who hasn't watched, just hearing this, I was like, no way is that possible. No way. And that you're saying it, and I'm just like,
no, Donovan, yeah, what? Donovan Mitchell, right? Like, the fact that he's literally the best player on the court, except for game three, where Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were like, yeah, no, reminders, it's us here.
Yeah.
And he was still, like, Donovan was still phenomenal, but, like,
if but he's the opposite. He's the opposite of Paul George, though, where Paul George is going
to get
amazing numbers in the regular season, and yeah, Mitchell will be literally Norman Powell. But then when you go in the playoff season, sorry, in the playoffs, that's when, like, it's like LeBron almost. Like, he accelerates to a different level, and what he's been doing with the, like, I honestly thought that it would not be a series right now. I thought it would go far, but I just not think that they would have the upper hand over LA.
I thought it'd be Clippers and six. Clippers and six is totally in place still. They're just down 2-1. But, like,
I just don't think it's sustainable with Kawhi.
And Joe Ingles needs to be given his roses. Like, he's been doing a phenomenal job. And Royce
O'Neal, him and Bogdanovich look like those guys from The Social Network. They look like those evil twins.
I need to, like, take a moment to be like, who am I watching? Oh, yeah, okay. Like, I'm like, 44? Two? Like, which one?
There's so many white guys on that team. Just, like, of course, you went to the local Mormon Catholic church, and we're just like, hey, who wants to play ball today? And that's how they found them. Maybe don't put this part on the pod.
Someone's going in and cutting it. So sorry. It's here to stay.
So but if you guys recommended
that's a city that's known for having some racist nonsense. Also, Sidra, just to speak to some of, like, the awful things that happened in the playoffs. So right now, Clippers Jazz, it's 2-1. I kind of still am leaning towards the Jazz are up.
Wow.
The Jazz have home court advantage, so everyone's won the home games.
Okay. Oh, home court advantage is a thing again. Wow. Like,
right now it looks like we might have a Utah Jazz and Milwaukee final. And, like, so just think about that.
What series do you recommend for someone who's getting back into basketball?
I think Clippers
from both conferences.
I think Clippers Jazz is a fun one.
Okay.
But also, like, Nuggets Suns is done.
Yeah.
It's the only one that exists on the West.
And also, Euro Cup just started too, so you can watch soccer if you want.
I cannot concentrate on Europe right now. I'll just get angry about them for many things. Europe, just be quiet for a hot second. It's not about you today. It's been about you for a few centuries, and now just stop, okay? Stop. It's not your time.
Same thing with America.
Time
out. Oh, yeah. This is way off topic, but
the whole pod is.
The whole plot here. I'm here. I'm a Gemini. All my personalities are out at one time. And Nora's here too.
There's like six people on this pod right now between me because you're alone.
I was watching this like TikTok about somebody explaining that like most empires fall within
did not do
like,
the math on that.
250 years.
Nora said six. There's two of you guys. You guys are both twins. That's four.
I know, but there's too many of us anyway. It's like we're triplets pretty much.
I definitely have at least three personalities.
Oh, yeah. I got like 10 if I want to be generous to myself.
Yeah.
God. I can be emo if you want me to. I can be a basketball fanatic if you want me to. I'll watch EuroCup because basketball sucks.
EuroCup. That's so boring. I don't want to watch. Like, you're thinking about soccer. It's just like, I don't know, people kicking a ball around.
You sound so American.
I really used to watch soccer. Canadian.
Don't.
I used to watch soccer and then I learned about world history.
But if you're going to do world
history, like, imagine you're too for France. What am I doing? Cheering for England. Disgusting.
My colonizers. Absolutely.
That's what you cheer for, like, what do you cheer for? I actually cheer for Spain.
Also, but disgusting.
I know. But, like, we also cheer for America, right?
Yeah, but no, I'm cheering
for America. I have never in my life, and I can say that because I'm no longer in that country, never in my life cheered for America. I have cheered for individual people from that country.
I just want them
this
in my
pod country. Has gone off the rails.
I know.
The NBA, guys. Sidra, do you know who the MVP is?
Yeah. No.
You said that. So excited.
I know Rudy Gobert won Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wait, don't tell me.
Really sweet what they've done.
Who won MVP?
As you think about this, I'll say something that's really sweet that they've done now is instead of just like announcing it at a press conference, they like announce it in really cute ways where like the team surprises guys.
I saw Rudy Gobert's like team congratulating him and I was like, that's nice.
It's Rudy Gobert. It's such a like for
Jordan. I used to call him Gobert.
Gobert, you called Bernier. Bernier, you just decided French names are not for you, nah. And I respect it.
Thank you, man.
For Jordan Clarkson, he won Sixth Man of the Year, right?
And I was like, wait, he can't be the MVP. That's not
possible. No. He won Sixth Man of the Year.
So just like I've been out that long.
They had him and Joe Ingles sitting next to each other. For this like taping of, I don't know, some post game or pregame or some nonsense. And they were like, they were quizzing him. Someone said, you know, how many former Jazz have won Sixth Man of the Year? And Jordan Clarkson said, zero. And then Joe Ingles said, no, it's one. And then took off his shirt and surprised him with the trophy to say that he was the one. And I was like, this is so sweet.
That is so sweet.
He was already wearing a shirt, I think, that was like a Jordan Clarkson shirt. Yeah, it was like a really sweet moment where he was like, no, it's warm.
That's nice. I like it when it's personal. Like when they were doing like the Raptors, this is off topic, not really, but when they were doing the Raptors intros and their families were doing it, I like it when they make it personal.
Me too. So who's the MVP? I've given you like 10 minutes to think
about it. The same dude who got ejected today, Nikola.
Nikola Jokic. He is.
I did something right, ladies and gentlemen.
She answered it like she was answering a text exam. She's like, okay,
I have no idea how much PTSD I have from
the
exam. I think it's Nikola.
Nikola Jokic.
Well, maybe he just got really hyped and got a little aggressive today. I'm MVP. So
did you guys see the video of it? Did you see it, Sidra? Like I've never seen Nikola actually. Like I was like, oh, he looks like a big teddy bear, and then I saw him and I was like, oh,
he looks like Usain. First of all,
he does.
What'd you say?
He looks like Usain.
He really does.
He's really a white version of him.
He really looks so much alike.
He's actually Usain. Whenever I see him, I'm just like, oh, he could be an accountant. Like he's got that body good for him too. So
he
funny.
Could be an accountant.
He really could.
But I saw the video and I was just like, cause I only watched half the game and I was like, oh, you don't want to, like, I thought you wouldn't fuck with like other players, but just Jokic, you don't want to fuck with. He will mess.
But he also seems like I don't think I remember him ever being like I hate that word, but like aggressive or
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he hasn't.
That's, you know, why he seems like a very chill dude.
His nickname is the Joker. He's supposed to be all jokestery.
Funny. He seems that's like a guy, like. Weird. He seems like the human embodiment of like flailing arms.
Serbia. Here's my thing. It's just like any player that's from one of those countries, I'm like, you don't want to mess with.
No.
No.
They've got not only mafia back there, but like a pack of bears waiting to come and attack you. They have wildlife. They've got everything.
I would take Nikola Jokic in a fight with a grizzly bear.
Oh, 100%. It's like, isn't Serbia? No, I don't want to. It's like close to Russia, right?
Sure, yeah.
Geography 101. Don't ask me. I promise you. There's a reason I went into law and not geography.
I can't either. But no, yeah, that was crazy. And then honestly, though, like he should not have been ejected, but and that's stupid. But like being campaign, and then when I saw that big hand of Nikola come down, and I was like, if I'm campaign, there's diarrhea on the floor. Like that, I would be so fucking.
I'll done shit myself.
I would be kind of like, everything.
Do you guys remember when, like, remember how like crazy eyes, like Tyler Hansbrough, Psycho T, that's what we called him.
Tyler Hansbrough had some crazy, scary eyes.
He had crazy eyes.
He was always like, ugh.
And he was like, called Psycho T, and he was like, ugh. And like it was in a game, and he turns around and realizes that it's Ron Artest. And like, oh, as soon as he was like, he like literally just like shrinks and apologizes. Nora would have had that moment. She would have had her Psycho D moment.
Oh, I can see it.
Wait, so guys, tell me about the Raptors. Because I know that Siakam hurt his shoulder. So that kind of sucks.
So just shoulder surgery for Pascal Siakam.
And he's out for at least 5 months.
Yes.
I was reading something that, well, I like feel like I could keep up with Raptors players, but Yasmin tweeted something about like, yes, this is 5 months and yes, he won't be able to work on his shoulder. But like, do you know how much film and conditioning and all of that he can like work on his other arm? Like he can do so much. So I know 5 months sucks, but I feel like Pascal was also having a very hard time in the bubble and this whole situation. And like injuries are never good, but maybe it'll get him time to like just be with his family in the new house that he bought his mom and just like, you know, and just be a human.
Rest. I think they all need rest. Like, yeah. I think we think of Pascal Siakam just having this like infinite amount of energy and he's still a human being. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he's a baby. He's not young. I mean, he's not old by any means, but he's also not a 19-year-old. He's 27.
And like the one thing I loved about Pascal, obviously, besides him as an athlete, was he was so personable, like just always laughing, always telling jokes. And I feel like during the bubble, it got kind of changed. And you could see the frustration on his face. And it was showing in his game, too, obviously. Mm-hmm. But he just like something about him shifted. So I hope he gets that
back. Into this season. That led into this season for sure.
Yeah.
One, the only thing that I would have that I would say like doesn't sit right with me is if you know that we're going to be tanking well before, you know, approaching play-in, why would you keep playing Pascal and wouldn't you tell him to go get surgery as early as possible as opposed to waiting till June? Like he was still playing in May. He should not have been playing if he wasn't feeling, if it was.
Maybe they discovered it late.
I wonder how that works. Like do players say, hey, I want a bit of a summer before I go get surgery? Like how does that work?
Yeah.
I feel like as a player, that's not what
you like. Are they contractually obligated when it comes to injuries to report them right away and get the surgery right away?
Well, they'd be like monitored constantly, right? So then you would assume just being with our development program and our medical staff, like you would, they would be proactive about it.
Most guys get it in like the off season, right? Like I think that there's like even when Kyle hurt his wrist or like when he hurt, like all of these like surgeries that he was supposed to have. I mean, I guess the wrist
one. But Kyle, though, that was for after finals though, right? Like we needed him.
No, but that's like, that was the thumb. I'm thinking back in 2017 when he missed that whole chunk, like they let him go to All-Star. They let him play in an All-Star game injured. They let him golf all weekend. They let him do all of that.
Then one thing Kyle's gonna do is golf.
He's gonna golf. And they let him do all of that. He had one of the worst three-point contest performances I've ever seen.
It was rigged.
He went out there and did that. They let him go out there and do that. They let him play in this exhibition game. It mattered for nothing. And after all of that was done and the Raptors were going in this home stretch to hopefully, you know, win, get the one seed or the two seed or whatever it was that season. But no, he got his surgery after all of that. So like, yeah. I have no idea.
Maybe how they do have choice.
Say players have in it, because it's clear that like they should have made him do surgery earlier, but Kyle wanted to take part in All-Star Weekend. So he did it after the weekend.
Yeah.
When based off of his play prior to going into the All-Star,
but maybe he wanted to just go make that extra 100-200K. Like, that's I get that, I understand that, and like it also helps you.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
I'm saying like the Raptors haven't been like timely about this in the past. It's just my
point. And they've also been so quiet about who, what, when, where, why, and how that you never know. They could have known it for a while, or Siakam was like, hey, I think my shoulder hurts, like a few weeks after it actually started.
What if a player doesn't want to get surgery? What if they're like, no, I can rehab this, and you need a second opinion? And like,
this is what
we've talked a lot about, like with like in the basketball news, like live streams and video chats with like players and stuff. Like David West was saying this. He's like, actually, I don't want to quote David West on this if it wasn't him, but someone was saying that like it might have been posed that teams. You like, how much are you going to trust your team's doctor when it's hired by the team? Like, how much am I going to trust my team's doctor? And that's a huge thing with Kawhi Leonard, where Kawhi was like, no, I'm going to go get my own doctor and we're going to diagnose this shit. And like, had that whole falling out with the Spurs.
This Kawhi thing wasn't like, with the Spurs.
Yeah, it was with the Spurs.
And I think that that happens with every team though. Like, how much are you going to trust your employer's doctors?
No.
I know
who else is talking to them.
Because the only thing that just doesn't make sense to me is if that is just like, if you're a player, you would just want to be proactive, right? Like you would just want to make sure that
is not a thing that most players want to get if they can have it in another way, right? So like when he's
been bothering him for so long, the shoulder, like that was the reason why he was out the past couple years too, right? So clearly it's been a lingering thing, but
but like think about D Wade not opting to not get surgery. Or did he? I think he did remove his meniscus. But there was other guys. Like, there's so many stories of guys, like,
opting
for surgery and heal themselves in another way, which is, like, probably the way that a lot of us would want to treat our bodies if surgery wasn't mandatory, but teams maybe want to, like, expedite everything and they don't care about your long-term health. They don't care about what you're going to be doing at 6 years old. And
how Yeah, they don't care if you can walk then.
No, right? And so, like, why would you trust your team's doctor? I completely understand that, like, there are other reasons for why it was delayed that are outside of our knowledge base right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah.
Well, speedy recovery to Pascal. Not speedy. Take all the time you need and get back healthy and happy.
And to Serge Ibaka as well.
And Serge Ibaka. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie.
And Serge Ibaka, you can go on Kijiji.com. They probably have like freelance artists who can put your videos together. They can upload them for you. You don't have to use
Crop. Nor you can literally do it for him.
I can search literally. Email me. Email me. Come on.
Hire Nor.
I won't like make fun of you if you email me. Like, if I'm helping you, I'll just boost.
I won't make fun of you anymore.
Not anymore.
So do we think the Clippers are going to win it? Can we just like close off on who our predictions are for who we think is going to win? I mean, don't pick the Clippers based off of the way that they've been playing, but also potentially Suns?
The Suns
steamrolling
team. Well, don't ask me because mine is like a 2019 mindset.
So go off of that, sis.
A 2019 mindset?
Los Angeles Lakers.
I never count out Kawhi. At the end of the day, because by 2019, on the anniversary of the Raptors win, you don't count him out.
Honestly, that's a great mindset to have because the Clippers looked dead in the water against the Mavs, and then it was just Kawhi. Kawhi was just like, let me remind you.
I've seen what he can do, so I'm never going to doubt him. That man is superhuman.
But I'm just like, I just don't know if he can do it alone.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he can do it for 6 or 7 games.
He didn't do it alone with the Raptors.
Nope.
Exactly. For me, I see the Nets, all those injuries just fucking everything up. Like my predictions just don't make any sense anymore. Cause I'm going to be like, if you told me in March that I'd be telling you right now that I think that like Milwaukee might take it, or the Suns might take it, or it could be Utah. Even actually, you know, whatever. No, not even Utah, because Utah's not a playoff performing team. I would be like, you're on crack, I'm on crack. Who laced us? What's happening? But right now, if I have to pick, Suns, they're on a roll. I don't think they can stop anyone. Anyone can stop them. If the Nets are shorthanded, and if they're going to continue to be, then it's going to be Milwaukee out of there. And then we'll see what happens. Probably. Yeah. I have no idea, but like whatever happens, it's not like the season counted anyway. So.
Asterisk.
I'm still going to pick, I think, the best player in basketball right now. And that's Kevin Durant. And as long as Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard exist, I kind of see both of those teams.
What? Okay, that, as someone who hasn't watched basketball in a really long time, what a good series to watch. That could be so much fun. That could be such a good series.
I feel like Kawhi would be on crutches by the end of it. He was going to have to be sure.
If Kyrie and Harden.
But imagine like,
oh yeah,
the artistry of basketball that we would see. That would be fun.
He would be on.
And that's what I need to trigger my like NBA heart back.
Yeah.
I need 20 CCs of Kevin Durant.
This playoffs is really fun. Like I recommend starting watching. Like there's been a bunch of bad series and I think a lot of these teams are not as good as advertised, but like Steph and LeBron aren't in it. Mm-hmm. And so we're just getting Trae Young. We're just getting Donovan Mitchell. We're getting Devin Booker. We're getting all these like young stars having their like first time really on a giant stage. I guess, you know, Donovan Mitchell's been in the playoffs.
That's really cool to see though.
You know, but it's so much fun. It's a lot of fun to watch. But you know what? Sixers, y'all are still frauds because you didn't trade for Lowry. Lakers, still frauds because you didn't trade for Lowry. Clippers, still frauds because you didn't trade for Lowry. And Heat still frauds because you didn't trade for Lowry. So the only team that I want to see win it are the Brooklyn Nets because they made the trades that they were supposed to.
Boop. And that has been Dishes and Dimes with Sidra tonight.
How do we go an hour without like talking basketball?
I know.
I feel like, did we? No. Oh, you guys. I think so. I really appreciate that you guys are like, okay, let's just go with the flow.
That's fun.
I really had no idea. I haven't watched in so long. I don't want to fake it because I'll sound dumb.
No, it is good.
A lot of people are going to relate to what you...
Exactly. I think your situation is something that people can resonate with.
Yeah.
And if anything, it just proves to the rest of us that we're also right about not enjoying the season. And we're just waiting for the next one now.
And it's honestly, it's a fake season. And like the guys are falling. Like there's so many injuries.
Left, right, center.
Like left, right, and center. Yeah. Like there's so many injuries. There's just so much like teams that are like random as hell that are performing well and ones that are struggling. The Toronto Raptors. It's just like, it feels like everything about this season is stupid.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like a hater. Because I think that what gets taken away from all this is like I'm a big advocate for obviously people coming to Toronto, so I don't want to put down market and teams where they're not usually looked at and displayed in the regular season. So I want to give the props to all these teams who are doing so great. But yeah. I think that it's just a matter of injuries. It's a matter of how the season was played out. It's a shortened season. It's the All-Star weekend that never needed to happen. It's just things mm-hmm. being accelerated to the point where it's unnecessary and it's just not enjoyable as a watcher. Like they literally got rid of Jokic on the verge of getting swept. Like how do you, the NBA has no idea how to market itself, how to be good to the civil movements going on, how to be mindful of a frigging plague taking place. And it's just going to take a while to get better from that.
Hire more people of color at the top to make your decisions for you. Please.
But even still, when cash rules everything around you, you can hire as many people. There's just going to be other puppets in our system that's meant to continue to, you know.
And that's on capitalism.
That's on
capitalism. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Dishes and Dimes. I'm sorry we didn't talk that much about basketball, but there's a lot of stuff happening in this world.
Sidra will be back in another 6 years from now. So
no, I am back this summer. You'll be hearing more of me, but I promise I'll be watching more basketball.
The boys are back in town.
Happy 2 year anniversary, guys. Turn up.
Happy 2 year anniversary.
For the last real chance.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. Take care. Bye.
Bye.